It stands for Intergovernmental Personnel Act Mobility Program. It allows the assignment of federal employees to other organizations like state and local governments, institutions of higher learning, Indian tribal governments, and so forth. And it also allows non-federal employees to be assigned to the federal government to work with us.
And how extensive is this program now? How many people do this each year from the federal government?
You know, it would be measured in the hundreds. If you needed exact numbers, I could get those for you. But like in 2009, I think there was about 450 federal employees on assignments. And it looks like about 18 non-federal employees on IPA assignments.
Now, there is a whole list of recruitment and hiring policy myths and myth busters. Let's go over those if we could.
Okay.
What are some of the biggest myths that you are encountering?
Well, I think one of the first myths is that that IPAs are somehow complicated and difficult to use, and they're not. They just require a written agreement between the organization and the federal agency that is either receiving an employee or giving an employee to the effort. So it's an easy thing to do.
And who pays the salary while the person is opposite where they usually are?
You can work that out. Either the agency can pay or the other entity can pay. They can split it. They can do whatever they want. They just have to reduce it to writing.
So there's no parameters around with whom an agency can enter into an IPA agreement with?
Well, there are. State and local governments, you know, institutions of higher learning, colleges and so forth, tribal governments, research and development centers that are funded by federal money. And there is a list of organizations on our website.
But it's not as restricted as some people might think.
No, that's pretty broad.
And what's the fundamental purpose? Why would an agency want to do this, or why would an individual want to do it?
Well, the individuals would want to do it to expand their horizons, work on a project that's of particular interest to them, broader view. If they got a particular problem to solve, they can bring help in that to help them help solve without having to search and hire somebody to do it. It's a pretty much of a win-win situation all the way around. Like Army uses IPAs for positions such as research civil engineers, research ecologists, and floodplain engineers. It helps the Corps of Engineers advance programs and lead regional efforts to enhance understanding of floodplain restoration processes. Education uses IPAs to fill positions in the Teaching Ambassador Fellowship Program, and those folks bring to the Department of Education unique classroom experiences, and they're able to share those experiences. Homeland Security used IPAs in the War on Terror. Specifically, they used an IPA to build a chemical defense community of experts that would enable the government to prepare for and respond to a high-consequence chemical event. So they have a lot of utility.
Does this also help cultivate relationships between all of these different entities?
Absolutely. If we send federal employees out, they're essentially ambassadors for not only their agency, but the federal government. And I suppose the reverse could be true as well.
We're speaking with Chuck Grimes. He's the Acting Associate Director for Employee Services and the Chief Human Capital Officer at OPM. So how do you get the word out? I mean, with only 400 people participating from the federal government last year, sounds like it's not that well known.
It's hard to tell how well known it is, but you're right. It doesn't seem to be used an awful lot. That's why we put on our website that it's a myth buster.
Oh, you mean that because a lot of people might be hesitant because it's new, it's different, it might be expensive, it might be hard to do. It's just better to go the easy old-fashioned route?
Well, just people probably don't think of it so much. But when a problem comes up that's of interest to the federal government and, say, a state and local government, for example, DHS has used it to help with some of their efforts on the war on terror. So they get state and local government contacts and they work together on procedures to help keep us safe.
So then who would best be able to take advantage of a program like this one, and when would it be best for them to sign up or get involved with it?
Well, whenever there's a an assignment or a problem that would be of mutual concern to the federal government and others, that's the best time to do it.
So is this like an exchange student program, except it's an exchange employee program?
Exactly. We put it out there. OPM doesn't have a direct role in facilitating these things. It's up to the individual agencies to work out whatever IPAs they wish to work out.
So the best thing that OPM can do is just present them with the tool, and then the agencies, the onus is on them to use it.
Absolutely. It's one of the tools in the toolkit.